Welcome to Real Flix Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This month they're in grab bags, so James picked the movie The Quick and the Dead, made in 1995. We did season one episode of The Expanse, and this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Hello. And Ryan Preston. And this is literally the description of IMDb of Quick and the Dead. Lady Avenger returned to Western Town, owned by a ruthless gunslinger, hosting an elimination tournament.
Can you do that again in a caveman voice?
I could vaguely do it in a really insulting Russian voice.
Save 15% on your car insurance, too?
Female gunfighter fights bad man.
I didn't even look at it. No, Lady Avenger returns to Western Town.
And this was
owned by a ruthless gunslinger. And this was an elimination tournament.
And this was apparently the first American movie Russell Crowe starred in.
Oh, really?
Along with 20-year-old Leonardo DiCaprio, who looked like he just turned 13.
Yeah.
Well, he looked like he just turned 13 till he was probably 32.
True.
Closer to 35, I think, but whatever.
My favorite comment was Sharon Stone said kissing Leonardo DiCaprio was about as sexy as kissing my own arm.
I was like, damn. Holy shit.
What?
Leo's 42.
To be fair, she was probably in her mid-30s. You know, he's so young. I mean, he was such the teen heartthrob. That's when 12-year-olds loved it.
Yeah, he was the Justin Bieber of the time.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Turned out to be one of the nation.
Every time I see him, I still see the kid from Growing Pains. And then I saw the guy who drowned in Titanic. I'm like, his best acting yet. By the way, you have nobody.
I don't know. I did like him in Daniel Unchained.
That's the thing is almost everything that he had done subsequent to Titanic was. I mean, ever since Catch Me If You Can, I've been a fan.
Yeah, I did like Catch Me.
He was
amazing in that movie.
Yeah. I've never really been a big Leonardo DiCaprio fan.
Oh,
I did kind of like him in Django Unchained. There hasn't been any movies to me that kind of redeemed him.
Departed to seal the deal for me is like, oh, this guy's one of my favorite actors.
Let's not get in that the fight for that movie, please.
I was gonna go, but I didn't like Russell Crowe until A Beautiful Mind either. So yeah. You know, I thought
subpar. This is true. I can agree with that. Interesting fucking fact about DiCaprio: he owns the rights to the HHA Home Story.
Oh, I hope he doesn't act in it.
Huh. Interesting.
Well, his sensibility over the years, I'd be interested to see if he does something with that in the future.
That could be interesting. I wonder if he's going to be directing or actually going to be starring.
No, I think this would be like his directing or producing it. Because I don't think he could act the role, but I think he could direct it.
I think he'd be missing a big opportunity if he only went as a producer in the film.
I think he's one of the most, like, prolific character actors that's out there right now, because every person that he does is a very, very unique character. You cannot compare it. It's not Denzel Washington doing the same version of the same guy in 10 different movies, or Sam Jackson,
or Liam Neeson, piece of crap.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
it's true. Liam Neeson has played almost the same character since Darkman.
I mean it's the same thing that Keanu Reeves got stuck with for a long time.
Yeah, basically, but you cannot compare like Wolf of Wall Street to Departed or to Titanic or to Catch Me If You Can. It's always these incredibly unique characters that he does.
I will say that there's movies like, I still think the genres, he's kind of the same character a little bit, or maybe it's just the same style of character, like an action movie to a drama.
But we've never seen DiCaprio do something like Daniel Day-Lewis, or if we look at Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, that really, we don't have that same thing with Leo's career, though.
True.
Well, I think we get into those Django moments and we start to see shades of it. I mean, it's just because he's played characters that are so larger than life.
You mean kind of like he's been typecasted as far as that goes?
Well, not necessarily typecasted, because again, you can't compare one role to the next, but these big, over-the-top kind of like huge characters like Wolf of Wall Street or Django when he's going apeshit.
I think he's been really lucky in the movies he's picked, because there hasn't been a whole lot of movies. Like, I'm not a big fan of his, but there's no movie that I've seen him in that I'm like,
it's
damn.
Complete crap.
Yeah, I mean.
Except for Titanic. He doesn't have duds, for sure. He's very, very prolific.
What was the one where he played the airplane mogul?
Aviator,
thank you.
Aviator, exactly.
I've heard he did a fantastic job, and I'm forgetting the actual guy's
Howard
name.
Howard Hughes.
Thank you. I knew it had two H's in it, but I couldn't, you know, H.H.
No,
Holmes kind of
screwed. Wasn't H.H. Holmes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, anyways, but, yeah, I mean, that's a hard role to play, by the way. And I've heard nothing but fantastic things on it, but it's one of those that, you know, I'm saving for us to do here so I get a fresh aspect of it.
To get,
but anyway,
to get,
predictions, right?
The predictions, I'm going to give this like a 3.5 out of 5. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. The movie is filled with very typical gunslinger casting.
Characters.
I mean, they're all archetypes of something or another. So these are all characters we've seen or different variants. Overall, it's a good movie. I wouldn't call it overly thrilling. Like, this is, you know, probably the fourth or fifth time I've seen it, so there's nothing in this movie that makes me go, like, edge of my seat moment for me. Mm.
Well,
like,
I
Django, for example.
Well, I'm kind of with you on that one. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I've been saving quite a bit of what I want to say about this movie, because Ryan and I have talked a couple times over the past couple days, and it's like, I got to bite my tongue, because there's things I want to mention about this film. But, yeah, you're basically right. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this fit into the action genre that was being pumped out in the mid to early 90s and late 80s. This kind of fit right along with that. You're not getting a fresh story. You're getting it chewed up, garbled in under the director's point of view.
But I see, at least this is the director who this is Sam Raimi. So
yeah.
At least it's a director who at least has a sensibility that I thought pulled this movie off. Because if this was any other director, I think it would have sucked.
No, okay, so now brings me to mind right here. My initial sort of, because I hadn't seen this movie in quite a while, my initial was going to be a 2, because I didn't have the most fond memories of this movie. The one thing that was about to change that was I had realized it was Sam Raimi, you know, and I'm totally familiar with his sensibilities, but then it occurred to me I shouldn't fucking have to know a director's entire body of work to understand why he made choices the way he did.
I do think he's one of those directors, though.
Well, he is one of those.
He's got his
very,
own style.
Very specific style of voice, you know. And it didn't work with this movie. It was way too comic booky. Which works for fucking Spider-Man, but not a Western.
See,
Spider-Man 3, guys.
See, I don't think this movie could, because if you take, say, like Unforgiven, probably one of the best Westerns made in the 90s, I don't think it would have worked as a serious movie. I think that the tone of voice for this movie was about as good as you're going to get with the material.
But that's the thing, it was a satire, but he never mentioned that it was a satire. It was never said. It was never out there on Front Street like, hey, by the way, this is like an amalgamation of certain Hollywood genre Western movies. You know, we're all just left thinking, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to watch a Western movie. And I like a fucking good tournament movie as much as the next guy.
But the
tone of this thing just really throws you for a loop if you don't know what you're expecting.
See, I went into this movie not expecting anything the first time I saw it. And I totally thought it was a comedy. I thought it was hilarious. There was lots of points where I laughed. You had all the archetypal characters that were in any Western film that you can imagine. You had the really bad guy, the bad guy who's going for his redemption. You had the bounty hunter. You had the character that's returning back because their family got killed, which I love. I mean, I've always laughed every single time when the guy from CSI, Gary Sinise is up there, and he's like, just aim for the rope, honey, and she freaking nails him perfectly in the head. I mean, I always bust it up at that. I thought it was a comedy the entire time.
Well, okay, it is a comedy. I bust up at things like the daughter accidentally shooting Gary Sinise in the head. That shit was funny. But funny to you and me, and I recognize, like, okay, are these people taking this so seriously. Like, it didn't come off to me as a satire. It came off as somebody trying to make a very serious Western movie.
I would say if you...
I never took this at all for a serious Western movie.
I would say if you take...
Ever.
I would say if you well, take this...
Well, it ain't, look, it ain't, you know, Sam Peckinpah or Sergio Leone, but it's like the 90s version of like, oh, somebody's trying to rebranch out into the Western genre. What the fuck did I just watch?
I would say if you take
hilarity.
I would say if you take this as a serious Western movie, then it's very half-baked and going off extremely half-cocked.
But, I mean, they have the scene where they're looking through Gene Hackman's body. How are you guys not laughing at this?
I mean,
Come on.
Well, to me, I always took it as a comedy. I mean, because everything about this movie is over the top and hilarious. Like, the first time you really see what Sharon Stone can do, she knocks the chair under the dude, off the dude, and catches the bottle. And, you know, so it's like, okay, this is a comedy, because that would never happen in a serious Western.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is in order to do something like that as a parody, you have to have these little, a little bit more of a tell.
Okay.
You know?
Well, your comment last week when I picked this movie, and you said, oh, that movie that is takes itself way too seriously. And so that kind of made me think. I was like, I never looked at this film that way. So I kind of watched it with that in mind, and I see where Ryan's coming from. Where that is.
To me, that's the reason why it's funny, is you have, like, especially, like, Russell Crowe and Gene Hackman's character of going, nothing scares me. And at the end, it's like, I'm kind of scared. I love this feeling. It's just like, who says that?
I mean, I love Gene Hackman in this film.
Hold on a second. I mean, are we saying it's a good movie because we thought it was funny for being a shitty movie? Because I have to take into account intent. Like, what did these people intend this movie to be?
I think they intended it to be everything, and I think that's one of the reasons why. Like, I'm throwing in my 3.5 a little bit, it's because I found it funny. But I do think Ryan has a big point. It's like, they wanted to be everything to everybody, and it comes off very half-cocked.
Well,
here's the thing: is once you understand what Sam Raimi is and what he's done, the Evil Deads, the Drag Me to Hell, Army of Darkness, the first couple of Spider-Mans, I'm leaving out three because it sucked. But you understand his sensibility, you kind of see where he's coming from on certain shots and certain, you know, just composition and soundtracks. But again, I shouldn't have to be completely familiar with a director's body of work to enjoy something that he does.
And I do agree with you on that. And watching the movie, being like, okay, people are taking this seriously, because I never took it that way. But to look at it, you are right. There's multiple scenes where the characters seem like they're taking it very seriously. Like, there's no, like, Mel Brooks comedy. There's no,
Right, we were never told otherwise.
So So you're never told otherwise. You had to kind of read into it.
See, I think
and the scene between Gene Hackman and Keith David, come on. I mean, that was a very serious section.
I do think for Sam Raimi, this is inside baseball. This is something that you have to know him to even remotely understand the angle he started with this movie. Because you're right, this movie's kind of a jumble of everything.
Yeah.
Very comic booky.
And the cast of this movie is unique. You have Keith David, which, if you guys don't know who he is, you've heard his voice in everything.
Pretty much. It's a very distinct voice.
And I really
I have two words for you. I'm sorry, three words. Ass to ass.
And
a Requiem for a Dream reference, people.
Yeah,
and I really liked Leonardo DiCaprio. My favorite scene in this movie is when he was talking about the guns. Literally the only scene in this movie where I could actually take that character serious. Like, it's like, cool, this is good. He knows what he's talking about. It had a kind of a mishmash of cast, but everybody.
It really did. And I mean, it's one of the roles I actually like Sharon Stone in. You know, I mean, it wasn't as horrible as most of the chick flicks she did at the time.
So I was
she Showgirls too?
I don't remember. So I was actually I was reading the IMDb stuff, and one of the comments, and I want to figure out, like, how long this dude was staring at the screen, because it was talking about, oh, the only the The one thing that stood about it, the scene, she was sleeping on top of the dynamite, and she woke up. And the scene is, oh, this is not authentic to the period because of the underwear she was wearing.
And I was, under the nightshirt?
Yeah, I'm literally
thinking... She was wearing underwear under the nightshirt?
See, I didn't know. I was thinking, this dude must have been on a computer, zoomed up to even remotely get a shot.
No, he probably did it on the step-by-step when they first came out with that on DVD. See, like, do I get to see a cross shot? Do I? Just watch Showgirls, dude.
That's the thing, is once you've seen Basic Instinct, you're going to step-by-step every moment that Sharon Stone's on screen.
So I was just, so I'm going to, I'll probably just, you know, I'll lower my rating to three out of five. It's still entertaining, but mainly because I'm a quasi-Sam Raimi fan more than anything. I think this is more closer to Evil Dead than any actual Western. I mean, far as the feel of it.
No fucking way. How dare you put that in the same category?
Well, I'm not saying, like, exactly, but I think it does have the same comedy overtones in a way, just in the Western feel.
Right, and there was moments in Drag Me to Hell, which was one of the sort of lesser known Sam Raimi ones, came out a few years ago, probably 07, 08, something like that.
Yeah.
Where for the first half of the movie, I didn't realize I was watching a comedy, you know. And then all of a sudden, you get into those really specific Sam Raimi tropes, and I was like, oh, wait a second, who did this movie? This has to be Sam Raimi.
2009.
You know, because all of a sudden I started seeing shades of like Army of Darkness, and
you see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's certain things he does in every movie.
Yeah.
Right, okay, but Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, you knew from fucking point one that was a comedy. This was a parody that was also creepy as shit, which was kind of what was really unique about those movies, but it was obviously a comedy. Like, you're trying to laugh at some of the things that are actually disturbing.
So what do you give this movie, Ryan?
Well, I almost brought it up to a 3 because of Sam Raimi, but then I again got upset because I shouldn't have to know everything about this director.
So what's your rating? 2.5?
2.5 is the most I can do on this.
I actually think that's really fair for a semi-confusing movie on its voice. Ryan, James? Excuse me.
You know, I'm sticking with a 3.5. I mean, I get enjoyment out of it, and I can... And I totally kept the thing with the comedy. I think it's hilarious. I think there's a lot of moments that make me laugh. Okay, dude,
how many movies have you seen, dude, that you can't – that you have to tell people, like, why you're laughing? Like oh, I'm laughing because I'm a sick bastard, not because this is funny.
Well, Requiem for a Dream, for one.
Exactly. Like, you wouldn't tell somebody, hey, this is Requiem for a Dream. It's a really funny movie.
And kids. You know, this one, I'm not really going to spell it out for somebody, but when they look at me and I'm laughing and I'm like, dude, like, look, they're looking through his freaking body right now. Come on. You know, if I'm laughing at a movie and the person next to me is not laughing at it, I'm at the theater with the wrong person.
Yeah, it seems like a really half-assed version of two or three different genres.
Hold on. James and I have watched movies together and have laughed and had the rest of the theater glare at us for laughing.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I just want to get a little context to this.
I swear I almost got an ass beating on the last Matrix.
Yeah, they were very pissed at us.
So
we do have a Facebook page. Is there a movie you want us to do? Do you love us, hate us? Just let us know. The other thing is, we do now have an audio podcast. You can catch us on Stitcher, Podbean, and more.
Oh, and the Nazi comment was from me, so you guys can go ahead and throw more things at me.
And so I picked episode one, season one, episode one of The Expanse. The description of it is a police detective in the asteroid belt, the first officer, an interplanetary ice freighter, and an earthbound United Nations executive slowly discover a vast conspiracy, blah, 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 blah. I loved the thing to me I think had the best is the I liked best is the feel of this movie.
Yeah.
Because the police officer reminded me too much of Blade Runner. The Ice Pirates is a semi-ripoff of other things. Overall, I liked the series. I think I watched 6 episodes in a sitting. Oh,
well. Yeah, I'm going to definitely be watching
sitting,
more of this.
Said.
Yeah.
I don't do that often. No, I don't have time.
No, but yeah, I agree with John. I will be watching more of this.
Have you heard about this?
I had heard about it before. I hadn't gotten around to it. I've got a long list of TV shows I keep up
now,
with.
The only
but
reason,
this is one that's getting on the list.
The only reason I heard about this was Adam Savage was kind of Tom Cruising about it. You know, he was jumping up and down about it. And I'm kind of glad I actually paid attention because I liked everything about this movie. And I my favorite part is there people, it's really easy to tell who you hate.
Yeah.
You hate the United Nations lady.
Oh, yeah. I definitely hate the United Nations.
The asteroid belt.
That's Blade, current, not future.
The Blade Runner guy, basically, his story was he grew up on the asteroid, but he became a cop. You can kind of see his sensibility of things. I really enjoyed everybody so far in this movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like some of the theoretical physics they're throwing into it. That was very entertaining. The fact that they had to drug everyone on there to reach 6 G's pulled out.
That was cool.
That was a pretty good little thing to throw in
there. I do like they didn't have the trope of the sleep chambers.
Which
is something they do in every sci-fi. It's so far away, we're going to have to knock
Although
you out.
Although I did enjoy the way that they went about torturing the guy who hasn't ever been on Earth.
The gravity.
Yeah, the gravity torture that they were using on. That was pretty creative. I kind of thought that stuff was pretty interesting.
Did you watch this, Ryan?
You know what, I'll tell you what, I've been out of town for a few days and I didn't actually get a chance to watch this, and I got home today, it's my girlfriend's birthday, and I started getting drunk.
Oh, happy birthday, Amber.
Happy birthday, Amber.
Did that. Drink some wine.
She's the true voice of Ryan.
Much like you, John, I was looking forward to this because of Adam Savage's sort of testimony regarding it. And it would throw you off because of sci-fi, or sci-fi as we like to call it. Because they haven't really put out anything that would suggest that they're into science fiction, the real hardcore genre.
Their version of sci-fi was Dune, the one with the rear projection walking.
Oh God.
Right, but Adam Savage, everything I know about him, I mean, he's such a purist, you know, when it comes to these things. I mean, he spent so many years I think he was at ILM.
Yeah, he was a hard-edged model maker.
Yeah.
You know, building props and sets and miniatures and things like that. So his sensibility for sci-fi has always, mirrored my own, mine to a lesser extent, obviously. But
he's only
that
stoner
really
creative.
Sold me, and I mean, it was always bandied about as this Game of Thrones in space, and I was the biggest fucking Battlestar Galactica fan.
Yeah, I got into that too.
Was the one that started. I want to say 2005 or something like that.
I was really surprised how much I liked that. Now, I haven't watched it since because I just don't have time, but I was really impressed. This is, Ryan's right, it's very kind of soap opera-y in space, which I think lends itself very well to outer space genre.
Yeah.
Well, you have to endear yourself to a character. It's true in anything, but sci-fi, you can't just throw a bunch of science at people and have it be interesting.
No,
you know, it's gonna be interesting to 9 fucking people, you know. Yeah. So I'm really, really looking forward to watching this, especially after your reactions to it.
So who's your favorite character? Because mine actually is the Blade Runner guy, just because the fact that he's this jaded cop who kind of beats the crap out of people and gets away with it. But you can kind of see there's gonna be something about his past that's gonna kick up.
I would have to say I like the original XO. he's from Breaking Bad. He died within 10 minutes of the show. So I'm done. No, I'm kidding.
Damn, that's quick.
You know, I would have to see. I kind of like the replacement XO, who was a lieutenant. He'll be an interesting one.
You mean
one
the
because
black lady?
No, she wasn't the XO. She was one of the. She was the repair lady or whatever.
I know.
I'm just giving you shit back. Asshole. Anyways, but yeah, that's who I'd be interested to see where he goes with that character.
The Thomas Jane.
Yeah, but other than that, I kind of agree with you. The cop detective. But I'm not. I mean, for me, like, if we go back, we can all notice that I was not a big fan of Blade Runner. So I'm just curious kind of how they go with that. So
I do have to say that at least his role so far is kind of be stereotypical. But honestly, for once, it doesn't bother me if they do it the right way. Stereotypes aren't bad in movies as long as it's not.
What, like him ending the show on his story as a getting the conscience?
Yeah. Right. I mean, as long as it's not over-the-top ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, you know, look, some tropes in movies and TV get somewhat of a bad rap because they end up being tropes. They end up being something that's sort of bandied about in a ton of different TV and movies. But I've noticed a lot of things that can be seen are really just kind of human nature and things you'd almost expect to see in situations in space or in a Western or in, you know, some distant land or something like that, just kind of human traits that come out or interactions that always go a certain way. You know, so some of those things are very forgivable. You know, Beastar G did a ton of those things, but it was just, it fit with the human nature of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, next week is Ryan's pick. So, yep. Ryan, you're up.
Shit. I'm like three sheets to the wind right now. I'm trying to think of something good.
Hold on.
Okay, James, give him a...
And for the third week in a row, James comes in with the last-minute suggestion for Ryan.
Original Italian Job.
Oh. Yeah, okay. I haven't seen that movie in 20 years. Okay.
I love the pain voice, and
well,
yes.
You know what it was, is that was me thinking like, oh, okay, and then I remembered the remake, and I almost threw up.
So it's The Italian Job, made in 1969, starring Michael Caine.
And Benny Hill. Yeah.
Does this mean I have to pick the TV show? Because I got
I have a TV show, too.
I'll go.
Right. Well, you bastard, I was going to fucking pick The Expanse, you dick.
Oh, well.
We already did that one.
Yeah,
right?
So we're going to do Penny Dreadful.
All right.
Okay, that's definitely one my girlfriend likes. She'll be happy to
so
hear that.
So we'll do season one, episode one, since I like just doing the first episode.
All right. That's actually an interesting first episode.
So, ladies and gentlemen, hold on, I got to bring up my notes. I gave Quick and the Dead a 3 to 5. James gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 2.5 out of 5. Next week, it's the original...
Italian Job, made in 1969.
And season one episode of Penny Dreadful. And as always, thank you for watching.